Father in heaven, I come before you remembering what Elder Larry prayed during his prayer, asking for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon me and everyone in the congregation. And I want to come into agreement with that prayer and also acknowledge that without you I can do nothing, but with you I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So speak through me now, Lord, so we hear your thoughts and your voice, and we will leave here changed because we saw Jesus. Thank you for hearing this prayer and answering it, because it's prayed in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, you remember, except for those of you who weren't here last week, I preached the sermon entitled, What is Sin? And what we did with that sermon is we answered three questions. We looked at John 5, 1 through 14, and as you can see, that's the pool of Bethesda and the paralytic laying there, and Jesus coming and saying, would you like to be whole? And after he said, take up your bed and walk, he looked at him and said, sin no more, lest what? A worse thing happens to you, or a worse thing comes upon you. And we looked at three questions. First of all, what was sin? Secondly, what is the effect of sin? And thirdly, how do we overcome sin? And for the question, what is sin? We looked at John 16, verse 9. Because everybody, especially Adventists, know the Bible teaches sin is the transgression of the law. But Jesus also said sin is not knowing me. And so sin is deeper than bad actions. The primary sin is a failure to believe in Jesus Christ. And then we looked at the second question, which was, what is the effect of sin? And we looked at Isaiah 59, 2. And by the way, what's the effect of sin? Separation from God. Isaiah 59, verse 2. That's exactly what it is. And finally, we looked at the third question. And that is, how do we overcome sin? And we looked at one simple verse in Isaiah 45, 22 that says, look to me and be saved. Looking to Jesus Christ. And so today we want to continue in this theme as we look at the sermon entitled, Neither Do I Condemn Thee, Go and Sin No More. Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me to John the 8th chapter. John the 8th chapter, we're going to find a very powerful story that you're all familiar with. I want the children to open their Bibles. Please turn to John the 8th chapter and follow through as we read the 11 verses we find there. Also, children, I want you to watch the pictures that go along with these 11 verses so you can see it played out as I read it to you. Okay? All right. John 8, 1 through 11. Neither do I condemn thee. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and he taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commands us that such should be stoned. But what do you say? This they said, testing Jesus, that they might have something of which to accuse him of. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger as though he had not heard them. So when they continued to ask him, he raised himself and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him throw the first stone at her." And again he stooped down and he wrote in the ground. And then those who heard it, being convicted of their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are those accusers of you? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No, Lord." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Wow. When we looked at the story last week of the paralytic, I found it very interesting that he said to him, "Stop sinning, lest a worse thing come upon you." But to the woman he said, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Now let's take a look just briefly at that word condemn. That's katakrino. It's made up of two words. The Greek word is katakrino. Kata, upon or up. Krino, judgment. Judgment brought upon. And the word is a present active indicative first person singular. It means to condemn or pass judgment on. Now, why all this mumble jumble? Because I want to impress you. No. A present active indicative verb in the Greek means continuous action. Neither do I condemn you, nor will I condemn you. Go and sin no more. It is a powerful statement that Jesus is making in this sentence, this scene here, compared to the one that we found last week. Sin no more, lest a worse thing happen to you. By the way, we discussed that a little bit and discovered the worst thing that can happen to you is eternal separation from the Father. That's the result of sin that are unrepented of, in which forgiveness is not sought. That worst thing that comes upon you is the eternal separation. But here he said to the woman in this scene, "Neither do I condemn you." They're condemning you, but I am not condemning you. And under those circumstances, go and sin no more. And so we find in the book Desire of Ages, in this act of pardoning the woman and encouraging her to live a better life, the character of Jesus shines forth in the beauty of perfect righteousness. While he does not palliate sin nor lessen the sense of guilt, he seeks not to condemn, but to what? But to save. The world had for this erring woman only condemnation and scorn, but Jesus speaks words of comfort and hope. The sinless one pities the weakness of the sinner and reacts to her and reaches to her with a helping hand. Isn't that incredible? Folks, we've got to stop and think. You know, I don't like these pictures. This one's not too bad. I got one coming up you'll see in a second in which she looks like a beautiful woman. And I want you to know, forget this beautiful woman stuff. She probably was ugly. She had been caught in sin for years. She had been abused and misused. If you ever worked with these individuals, you would know that. And so he isn't doing it because he had compassion on her beauty. He did it because she was a person. A person deserving the truth and to know the truth and the reality about the God of heaven. He doesn't come to condemn. God forbid for a church that condemns. For Jesus said, neither do I condemn thee. And folks, I'll give you the punchline now before we get to the end. And it's because of that that he could say, go and sin no more. Because anybody who is treated like that will want to try to do what's right for the one who forgave. This woman was in a death throw on the ground. In fact, when Jesus said, let him who is without sin cast the first stone, she cringed and she gritted her teeth, closed her eyes, and just waited for the first rock to fall on her head. She knew she was dead right then and there. And what did Jesus do? He had stooped down and wrote in the sand the sin of all them so no one could throw a stone that she didn't know it. And I think, oh Lord, help me to be like you. Help me to see the inner beauty of people, no matter what they look like on the outside, no matter what they act like, how they speak. That's how Jesus brought the best out of the worst. And I read my Bible, and I want you to know that I, with all my heart, believe this was Mary Magdalene, and no one was more faithful to Jesus than Mary Magdalene. Not Peter, not Paul, Mary Magdalene. And who's the first person Jesus went to see after his resurrection? Mary Magdalene. Why? Because she desired his presence more than the rest. In fact, if we were to turn to John, the 19th chapter, we would discover that the disciples, after the resurrection and after Mary and some of the other women told them that the body was missing, that the angel said he rose again. While all of that was going on, Mary hung out at the tomb trying to find Jesus. They were cowering in fear in the upper room while she was laying out there in public, searching desperately for Jesus, not caring at all what could possibly happen to her. And who showed up? Jesus showed up. I want to be like that. I want a church that wants to be like that. That we can look and see the potential of people instead of what the appearance is. Why? Because that's what brings the best out. That's why he said first, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. And boy, I'll tell you. You know, I happened to think too. I thought, I don't even know why I got this thought or how I got this thought. I thought, man, you know, of all the women serving Jesus, I bet she was the most attractive to marry, to get married to. If you were single. Why? Nothing more beautiful than a woman that loves Jesus. Nothing. And so Mary Magdalene was that woman. Why? Because Jesus said, neither do I condemn thee. To the paralytic, he said, stop sinning, lest a worse thing happen. But to her, he said, neither do I condemn thee. Therefore, you now have the right to, and the energy to, and the power to go and sin no more. Why? Because she was in Jesus' presence. And by the way, isn't it interesting? She was hauled there against her will. But she discovered in that setting, you're invincible. Right? In the presence of Jesus, you're invincible. Well, let me show you something else that I found pretty outstanding. I want you to take a look at John 3. What? Verse what? 17. Now, are you sure I didn't mean 16? The most famous and popular and quoted text in all Scripture, John 3:16. But I want you to look at John 3:17. Turn in your Bibles to John, the third chapter. By the way, let me put in a little commercial here. You know, if you read your Desire of Ages carefully, you'll discover that she says clearly, nowhere else in the Scripture did Jesus explain the plan of salvation like he did in John, the third chapter. Did you know that? Nowhere else in all the Bible. You follow the logic he goes down through in all the way to verse 15. And then he caps it by saying, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But then he says in verse 17, he says this, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it. Condemn the world. But that the world through him might be what?
Saved.
Saved. And how do you do that? You do that by doing as Jesus did. Neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. And so we look at that text. For God did not send Jesus into the world to condemn the world. He didn't do it. Now this speaks volume to us of what we should be like. We have to be very careful in what we say and what we do. Because we could launch someone into a brand new experience in which they changed in all kinds of ways, if we're patient and long-suffering, the way Jesus is with us. And by the way, that word here, condemn, is krine. It's a verb, present active subjunctive. Third person singular, judge, pass judgments on. Same word. And it's a present active subjunctive. So there we got, it's an active, the subject does the action, it's repeated action, it's active, and it's subjunction to the person receiving it. God did not send Jesus into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And so now we know the standard of the Christian. We need pastors who understand this relationship. We need churches and people in the church who understand this. Understand what? Understand, neither do I condemn thee. Therefore, here's a motivation for you to continue to try to overcome sin. And we'll see the miraculous change that takes place like it did with Mary Magdalene. And what a story. And it's all because Jesus loved her. And so we have an illustration of what Paul wrote in Romans 2 verse 4. What did he write in Romans 2 verse 4? He said, or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to what? repentance. And so if we expect people to clean up and to change and to progress, then we need to be mentors that do not condemn or despise the riches of God's goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, implying that God's that way. We're not. And if we're not, we're despising God. That's what it's saying there. For don't you know that the goodness of God, His compassion, His love, His mercy, leads all of us to repentance. All of us to repentance. My friends, there's nothing like a moment in which God speaks to you and informs you of something very personal and very real. Like a friend of mine who recently told me he went on a trip, and while he was in the hotel and praying, the Lord spoke to him loud and clear in such a crushing way that his response for a grown man was to just fall forward and cry. Because God pointed out how he didn't listen to him at college. He didn't listen to him on the job. He didn't listen to him on his marriage. He didn't listen. You didn't listen to me. And when he heard all that, it broke him. It just literally broke him, because he then realized that God did that to put him back together again, to heal him. And the goodness of God changed his character right then and there. And so, my friends, the rallying cry for the Paradise Church is, neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. But if you do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Christ Jesus. The soccer season had just restarted again, this year, when a father with his little boy wanted to know who the new coach would be. Would his focus be on making the game fun, a team experience, or would he focus on goals and winning? As the practice began, the father met the coach named Ray. His first impression was that Ray was a good man. Any lingering doubts about him vanished when suddenly an odd incident occurred during the practice game. The white shirts versus the blue. As they began, an olive-skinned little boy, who they later learned spoke no English, wandered from the playground equipment over to the sideline of the game. He watched. He waited. Moments later, the father looked for him again, but he was gone. And then he noticed there were 13 out there running up and down the field instead of the usual 12. The boy, perfectly camouflaged in his blue shirt, had joined the blue team. He ran, he passed, he kicked, he smiled. No one seemed to notice that he wasn't a part of the team. No one yet said, "He hasn't paid the fees. He properly, the proper forms and releases have not been signed." Soon, however, the ball rolled over to a mother's lap and the little boy ran to fetch it. The mother innocently said to the coach, "He's not on the team." The kids, who had not even noticed that a new friend was on the field, stopped. The coach looked down at the now very dirty boy, saying, "He's not? There was a pause as the boy looked up at Ray, who held the soccer's fate. at least this day. Finally, Ray made his judgment. He put his hand on the boy's small back and said, "Come on, let's play soccer." And off all 13 team members ran to play the game. Do you know none of us deserve to be on God's team? We haven't earned it. Haven't paid the proper fees and haven't filled out the right forms. Nor have we paid the price ourselves. Yet in His grace, God chooses us to be on the best team in the universe. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Father, I want to thank You for the challenge of the hour, that You would help us to live up to this experience, that we would be like the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And that we would remember how kind You've been to us, so that we would be kind to others. And in so doing, we, as it were, give them permission to change. Oh Lord, help us, please. And let us understand the problem is sin, and the solution is Jesus. So bless every person who's come today. May You transact some business with them, even right now, in their heads individually, our heads, Lord. And may we step up to the plate and respond in kind to You, so You can use us to grow Your kingdom and be ready for Your coming. Bless now to this end, and thank You for never failing nor forsaking, because we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.